Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast here in 2019. Doesn't that sound great? We're kicking off the year with a great trip report. Tim is standing by right now to take us back to Disney's Beach Club Resort just a few weeks ago. So this is going to be one of the more recent trip reports. We're going to have a great time. But don't forget, we've got two great sponsors off the top of the show, our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books. Maybe you're making a resolution here in 2019 to connect more to your Disney passion. One of the great ways to do that is to pick up a book. You know, this is something you could read each morning as you get up to get inspired, to get pumped up for the day. You could also read the book at night before you head to bed to have those Disney dreams. These two books, The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt by author Jeff Barnes, give you a taste of Disney every time you crack the book open or open your electronic reading device. But they also give you lessons left behind by Walt Disney that you can apply to your life to become a better leader within your family, your work group, maybe a church. It's just a great book to give you a Disney fix and also to get you fired up to make you the best leader you can be. So check out these great books. It's an inspiring website as well. It's over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Make a resolution to save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal trip with our friends over at touringplans.com. They are the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Of course, they have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit each and every day of your trip. Customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides. Honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For some of those, the cost of those purple new ears down at Walt Disney World, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1430 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. And I guess, you know, this, well, it's kind of two things. It's kind of that Monday where we're starting to settle back into the routines. Many people are heading back to work. You know, you've maybe had some time off for the holidays. You know, we're settling in here to 2019. First full week of work, probably, you know, maybe sticking to those resolutions. Maybe we've kicked those off to the side already here in a week. And a lot of us, you know, we're playing like we're going back to work, but we know that our eyes are on this coming weekend with Marathon Weekend 2019. So I want to wish everybody a very safe travels down to Walt Disney World, and we'll see you down there this week for Marathon Weekend. We're going to do a lot of running and have a lot of fun. So to get you there, maybe you're taking this this trip report with you on the plane. We're going to have a great time, maybe in the car, or maybe just on your commute back to work. Tim's joining us from up in Minnesota. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm glad to have you. So how was it? You know, busy time of the year. So did the holidays treat you well up in the north?
Yeah, it's been fairly mild weather the last couple of weeks. And when, of course, when we were out of town at Disney, it was good weather here. But that's usually why we want to leave in the middle of winter, is to go to Florida and some warm weather.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things. You know, you're down in Florida. At least, I don't know, I guess folks that come from the north or places where it does get cold in the winter, you do always keep your eye on the forecast back home to see what you're missing. Like, are you missing a big winter storm, or are you missing like 65 degrees in January? Either way, you're like, what am I doing? You know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. All right, so let's talk about your trip. This is going to be a more recent trip report because we were contacting back and forth, and we're recording this one over the holiday break where I had a little extra time. So tell us when you just got back, or when you took this most recent trip.
It was just the first week of December. We really like to go at that time of year because it's before the big rush around Christmas, but yet they have the Christmas decorations up, and our family hadn't been to Disney at Christmas for like 4 years. And so our girls, they're 12 and 14 years old, were really kind of missing it. And they just wanted to see Christmas at Disney.
Yeah, nothing like it. It really is. I mean, I missed it this year and it's killing me. So next year, 2019, we are getting down for the holidays. Now, let me ask you to kind of step back here for a second. why Disney for you? I've been asking this of our Trip Report folks for the last couple of months, but what's your background like? Did you grow up in a Disney family, or was it something you discovered at a certain point of your life? You know, why are the Disney destinations important to you?
I went to Disney when I was a teenager, maybe like once or twice, actually, when it first opened in the 70s with my family growing up, but we weren't like huge Disney fans or anything. That was something that happened really kind of now as the tradition for us. We've been going almost once a year, sometimes once or twice a year since our girls were young. And we just saw that magic of them, especially just things that we didn't even expect when they were meeting the characters, just seeing that. And so now it's really become, every trip is more and more relaxing because we're not attempting to conquer as much. And it's very easy to navigate to, especially at Disney World, for us to get flights from Minnesota to get down there. They're all set up, of course, for tourism. And we always know that there's going to be quality entertainment. And so it's just a great experience all around. And we found it's a really good value, even though it can be expensive at times.
Yeah, I think that's the thing Pam always talks about, you know, on the other shows, you know, value versus cost, where we all know, you know, a Disney trip is not cheap. But, you know, if you come home and you feel like you got a good value out of the spend, you know, it does make it worth it. And I think that's what a lot of us get out of our trips. Now, I remember when I kind of first fell in love with Walt Disney World, the thing I came home from that trip where I immediately, when I got back, I went to, you know, a long time ago, went to the library and checked out the Birnbaum guides. And, you know, there were like user groups. There weren't even, you know, widespread internet. Got to feel old. But, you know, like, it's so crazy, the Rita Arrow stuff. But the thing about it for me that really got me hooked and wanting to go back and back was how manicured everything was, even the islands and the roads down at Walt Disney World, how, you know, every hotel was almost like a little village where you could escape to a different, you know, time period or geographical location. You know, it was just that place that really took you away. So do you remember kind of what really stuck out to you that made you kind of go over the edge? Like, this is a place we're going to come back time and time again.
Some of our favorite resorts. We started going to Disney quite a lot, or more during the recession, actually, you know, eight years ago or so. And it was really a good deal then, because they were really having people go down there a lot and having a lot of specials. And we stayed at the Beach Club and the Yacht Club and some of those higher end resorts when they were a little bit less expensive than they even are today. And so we got kind of spoiled.
Yeah, that's true. Pam always told me, you know, with travel, it, you know, in a down economy, as long as you know, your job is still going on okay. You know, if you're in an industry where, you know, I was an educator, so even in a down economy, they still needed teachers and we were still, you know, getting paid and stuff, that's a great time to travel, because you're getting a good deal as the tourist, but also you're stimulating that industry. You know, the tourism right. industry takes a big hit. So when you do travel, that helps everybody out. You're getting a good deal. You're filling a bed. You know, you're buying pizza. So stuff like that. Okay, let's hop into your trip. Let's talk about when you went down in December. You guys stayed at Beach Club. So why'd you land at Beach Club for this trip?
Well, that's really, it's a splurge. It's our favorite resort. We really like the atmosphere. The pool is amazing. And of course, we wanted to be close to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. I mean, that's one of the location there where you can just walk into the back of Epcot is so convenient. So that's kind of why we chose it.
So did it work out well for you? Because you said your daughters were, what, 14 and 12, so kind of, you know, early teens, pre-teens. You know, I have two girls, too. I can tell you that, you know, to me, I don't know, I've never had sons, so I wouldn't know really how to travel with them. But I know girls are high demand. You know, I'm the only guy in the family, so space is at a premium. So when you have a deluxe resort, even though it's a splurge, I think it does help everybody kind of keep their sanity sometimes.
Yeah, the room size was nice. I guess I take the least amount of space. You know, I'm outnumbered by two girls and my wife. So
I'm the same way. I just stick my, you know, they say that is your corner. Put your two suitcases over there. Put one out, put one under the bed, and that's what you get. And I'm like, but you get you get all the drawers and you get the closet. Yep, we do. But you're here, aren't you? I'm like, yep, no problem. I'm here. It's fine. I'll make do. And, that's how it's gone for at least a good decade. So I can't complain because we've gone from Pop Century to the Moderates now. So I really can't argue. So let's talk about, you guys stayed at Beach Club. You mentioned that you liked walking over to the studios in Epcot. So were those parks kind of your focus? Or are you a family that tends to go to all parks equally? How do you do that?
Yeah, we like to do one day in each park if it's a trip like this one was 6 days. And then at the end, we always like to have a day of rest. So one day to unwind because we're not moving. So that day we just spend by the pool, or sometimes we go shopping at the Disney Springs, that kind of thing.
You know what? We're staying at Beach Club, I think, for Marathon Weekend. So you were down in December. We were there in January. I think it was last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago. It was either last year or 2 years ago. We were staying there, and it was so cold the entire time we were there that we could never get in Stormalong Bay. And, of course, in my mind's eye for 6 months, I'm picturing Marathon Weekend, go run a race early in the morning. We're going to come back. We're just going to relax in the pool, and that was what I thought the trip was going to be. Then it was so cold. It was like in the 30s and, got highs in the upper 40s. I just didn't want to get in the water. So for your trip, when you guys were down there in December, was the weather comfortable? I mean, it varies year to year, but for somebody that's looking ahead to December 2019, what was it like?
We got lucky. It was warm. It got warmer as it went on. It definitely was very cool at the beginning. And being Minnesotans can handle it a little bit more. But we did have to dress up heavier sweatshirts and coats at the beginning. So that was the first couple of days. We were at the Magic Kingdom, the Animal Kingdom, and then the third day, Hollywood Studios. And then it started warming up a bit when we went to Epcot. And then fortunately, the last day, it was warm enough to swim. We swam down there when it was really cold because we just don't care. And we're going to be there. We're going to swim.
That's right. You're paying for that pool. I'm getting in. I don't care if I get, hypothermia. I'm jumping in.
Exactly. And the lifeguards are all in parkas.
That's it. Yeah. Well, it's so funny because you can tell, I love being at Walt Disney World in the wintertime because you can tell the Floridians because they're bundled up like they're going to get frostbite if they have any exposed skin. And you got people from the north that are like in their tank tops and shorts, like, hey, man, 40s. Yeah. I'm not going to see 40 for another 4 months, man. I'm taking it in.
Exactly.
It's so fun. You know what? You mentioned how it is cold in the park sometimes. And in the summertime, we go over summer and we go to Animal Kingdom, and that is the hottest park. I'm not kidding. My wife talks about Animal Kingdom hot. I think she coined that term well back before Everest was ever built. We were back in that corner of the park where they were just starting to clear the land, and I almost passed out. She's like, this park is just, it's got its own kind of heat. It's Animal Kingdom hot. And I was like, that's a good thing. And it is. But I mean, one of the other things I've noticed, which is really weird, is that Animal Kingdom, when it's cold, that is one of the coldest parks too. I remember one time waiting in line for Dinosaur back when it was called Countdown to Extinction. And it was it was actually New Year's Day. I was down there with our mother-in-law went with us that year. And it was like a cold that I had never felt. So that park can, that it's kind of like St. Louis. It can have the extremes. It can be 100 or it can be below zero. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Fun. We're usually there in December, January, February, or March. So those are the times when it can get colder. And so we've learned our lesson because it gets really expensive to buy a lot of clothes. Yes. At Disney if you're cold. So we bring them along.
Yeah, I'm hoping, hopefully by talking about all this cold weather this weekend coming up for Marathon Weekend, it is comfortable for all four races. And I'm throwing away all those sweatpants and sweatshirts that I had shipped to my hotel. Hopefully they're meeting me here just in a couple of days. My Amazon basics, as cheap as you can find them, they're just keeping you warm for 2 hours, junk that I throw off. So hopefully we won't need those, but we'll see. So walk us through your time in the parks. You guys mentioned you went to all the parks. So start off with Magic Kingdom, I guess.
Yeah, well, this time we decided to do some Disney bounding, and this was the first time we've ever done that. So we had some fun pre-trip planning of getting some clothes that I did a little Mickey. So I had like red shorts, yellow Vans, and a black Mickey Mouse shirt and a black hat. And then Goofy similar. My girls, they did like Minnie and Daisy and Olaf. So that was kind of fun. So being in the Magic Kingdom, that was our first day. We had lunch at the Jungle Navigation company, the Skipper Canteen, and that was a lot of fun. They have a lot of very good bad puns.
Yes.
When they serve you there, and then we went on the Jingle Cruise as well.
Yeah, my favorite thing at the Skipper Canteen, I love to get the Taste Like Chicken because it tastes like chicken, because
yeah.
It is. And it's, you know, right. Can't beat it. You know what? That restaurant cracks me up because when we got rumors of this restaurant coming online, you know, a few years back now, it was like, oh, you know, I remember I probably said this, that, man, it's going to be always so hard to get an ADR for this place because it's going to be kind of like Be Our Guest. It's going to be so themed. It's going to have, you know, cast members kind of like 50s Prime Time, you know, playing with you and stuff. But, you know, to me, I don't know how you feel about this. I'd like to hear your opinion, but it almost slips everybody's mind at this point here in, you know, late 2018, early 2019.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know when it went in there because I think we must have walked by there several times and never even noticed it. But this time we were looking for something unique in the Magic Kingdom and found it.
Yeah, and it's one of those places I want to go back, but it's just, you know, I tend to miss it and miss it. So I guess that says something. You know, I do enjoy it, though, when I go in. So who knows? Maybe for Marathon Weekend, I'll sneak in there with a group or see what's happening. So now let me ask you about your Fast Pass strategy. How do you guys lay out your Fast Passes? Do you make ADRs and Fast Pass around them for that park? Or, you know, how do you guys go about that?
Yeah, well, usually we choose, you know, if we're going to do 4 days in the park, we use the app, the touringplans.com, and we choose the day in the park that's going to be the lowest crowd level. I'm trying to be smart that way. And then we go ahead and make our ADRs for our dinners and meals. And then after that, because you can do that before you actually can do the fast passes, and then we do their fast passes.
Yep.
So we do those all online.
That's a good strategy too, you know, because you got the ADRs at 6 months and you got the fast pass at 60 days. So you kind of, you know, you've already got a pretty good idea where you're going to end up in that day, you know, so just build some fast passes around that, you know, where you're having dinner or breakfast, whatever you have.
Yeah. And so this trip, we decided to do a couple of, we're on a meal plan. So we did a couple of the meals where you need to use more than one.
Oh yes, the
ADR.
The signature dining is what Disney calls it.
Signature dining, yes. So we did at Epcot. We did Marrakesh with the candlelight processional, and so that took two. And we also did we did Boma, which was really awesome, and we also did the Boathouse for the last day, which I wasn't really. That wasn't our thing. Boathouse was. I was a little bit disappointed for it being a signature restaurant, but
to me, the Boathouse. You know, here's what I think about the Boathouse. And I think I know where, because I'm kind of with you on this one. That the Boathouse doesn't have a really strong like experience. You know, like I would think I would want in a signature meal like a Cinderella's Royal Table or a Jiko or even to some extent like a Le Cellier over at Epcot. Where, you know, it's a big restaurant. It's a huge restaurant, and it's not really got much of a theme. But I think that the thing that pushes it over the edge is the quality of the food. The food there is amazing to me, but it's like I kind of want both. You know, I want a strong theme, like something I can't experience back home, but also, you know, incredible food on top of that.
Sure, yeah.
So you also mentioned that you did Marrakesh. Now, walk us through that one because I've never been there, and I'll be honest. I'm thinking about doing a couple of sit-down dinners while I'm down there, even though I'm going solo. I know that's kind of strange, but I don't care. I'm going down. I'm running all these miles, and I'm my own person. If I have to go by myself, I will. My family will never, ever go for Marrakesh. Never. We ate at Tangerine Cafe once, and it was okay. Like, they did it for me. Marrakesh isn't happening. But, I'm curious about it because I'll eat just about anything. So what was that experience like?
Well, I thought it was... Certainly, you know, going into it, my girls were not the most excited about it. They didn't, you know, they've never really eaten Moroccan food before, so they didn't know what to expect. But I thought we had an amazing server, and he just brought that place to life as far as telling us about where he was from. And so that added to the experience. But I think the other thing was that we each, as part of the dining plan, all of us got to try not only an entree, but also an appetizer, and the appetizers were amazing. We got four different kinds so we could all try, and then the meals were really excellent as well. They have a belly dancer there as well, so some entertainment that's very unusual. I mean, that you don't see every day.
Yes. My luck, I'll be, you know, eating there solo. My wife will call me on FaceTime, be like, hey, how's it going? You know, you're resting back at the hotel for your big race. I'm like, and the belly dancer will come swinging by, and I'll be eating something really good. And then I'll be in big trouble when nobody will pick me up from the airport when I come home on Monday.
Yeah, it's family friendly. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It's Disney.
But I got to sell this. I have to tell her. No, it's a business trip, man. I'm going down there just to run 48 miles, and then I'm coming home. You know, there's not going to be any fun. You know, I'm getting up early, got to run the race, and go back to the hotel, rest my legs, maybe get a hamburger. Yeah, it's Disney, man. I'm having a good time, man, down there with all my friends. So, no, she doesn't care. It's going to be fun. But, you know, belly dancer swinging by, and she's teaching school. That, you know, there's just, you don't want to poke the bear. You know, that could get me in big trouble.
Right.
So what else? You guys, what'd you think of Candlelight Processional?
Oh, we totally loved it. And doing it, I mean, some people wait in line 2 to 3 hours for the Candlelight Processional, but because we did the dining package, we got like our fast passes into the Candlelight Processional in the reserve section. So that was awesome. And it's just an amazing, I didn't realize it's a 60-year tradition that was started by Walt Disney in Disneyland originally. And so they read the Christmas story from the Bible by a celebrity narrator. And it was Blair Underwood for this time that we were there. He's from L.A. Law. And then they have this amazing orchestra and the choir, and herald trumpets and the voices of liberty. It was just awe-inspiring and really totally puts you in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it's totally one of my favorite things. I remember watching, we watched the live stream that the Disney Parks blog did this year, you know, kind of back in our living room, which I'm glad they did, because like I said, we didn't get down for the holiday season, and I've never done the Candlelight Processional dinner package. I've always just been, you know, one of those schmoes that stands in the very back of the American Gardens Theater, you know, kind of back by American Adventure, and just, you know, you can kind of see the choir, you know, the top of the human Christmas tree, but you can still hear the story. You can still hear the beautiful music, and it's moving even if you don't have a seat. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, Christmas is my thing. I love it. And I just love hearing that story. And I love hearing that music because it is beautiful. And you're right. It harkens back to, you know, times gone by and Walt Disney himself. And there aren't too many things left that, you know, that goes right back to Walt directly, you know, from Disneyland to Walt Disney World.
Right.
Nice. So tell us about some of the more, you know, we have about 15 more minutes and I know we got a week to talk about. So what were some of the highlights? You know, you're home for about a month now. What still sticks in your mind as some of the best parts of the trip?
Well, in Animal Kingdom, I have to say Avatar Flight of Passage is absolutely our favorite ride ever. And so we weren't able to get a fast pass for it, but it was one of the ones that we actually, you know, waited more than an hour in line to do because it's totally worth it. We have done it in the past where we did it at Rope Drop. We went in line, and then we were able to do it twice in one day where we did it near the end of the day, before they're not going to close the park on you. Evidently, you know, if you can get into line, you're going to be able to ride it. So that's awesome. We went to Boma after that, so we just took like a lift over to the Animal Kingdom Lodge and had a good dinner there. Hollywood Studios, Toy Story Land was absolutely new for us. So we liked the Slinky Dog Dash. That was another one where we thought it was worth. We didn't have a fast pass, so we waited in line for that. And then the Alien Swirling Saucers was a lot of fun. We did have a fast pass for that. One of the things I learned that was really saved a lot of time, we ate at Woody's Lunchbox, for example, in Toy Story Land. But now you can order your meals or your quick service meals at some of the areas on your phone. And so that was saved a lot of time. I was actually, you know, you see a bunch of people up in line, long line. And here I'm ordering on my phone and just go pick it up. And you feel like you got a fast pass on the food there.
That's exactly, you know, it reminds me very much of fast pass, but it totally reminds you of when it reminds me of when fast pass debuted. And like, you know, there was a wide, variants of people that knew how to use FastPass, and there was a wide group of people that had no idea FastPass existed, and you would go swooping by, and they just wanted to punch you in the nose, you know? And I think it could, you know what, I think it could be worse with food, because you know half those people in line are hangry, you know, like they just want to knock you out, they just right. want a burger or something. Got to be careful. No, that's true. It saves a lot of time.
Yeah, we're planning a trip to Disneyland for the first time next March. And I didn't realize that there are no magic bands in Disneyland. There's no fast pass ahead of time. And I'm like, wow, we're going back to the dark ages.
You know what? I think if you're going from World to Disneyland nowadays, you got to get that Max Pass right there on your phone. I think that's a no-brainer and a necessity, because otherwise, you're right. You just called it. You're like, man, I'm in the dark ages, which, you know, in a lot of things, it's kind of fun to go back in time, but maybe not when you're spoiled. You know, it might be a little might be a little rough. Now, so you guys kind of bounced around, and how were the crowds? Because you mentioned, you know, you did Slinky Dog and you did a lot of these big attractions without fast passes. So it sounds like it was manageable, right?
Yeah. You know what? It felt like it was, we thought the crowd levels were going to be like 2 and 3 out of 10, you know, that's what we were expecting. So it felt busier than that. I think a lot more people are traveling, because the economy is good, and, it felt busier. But again, you know, like being there more, having been there recently and knowing we'll go back, it's still, we're able to do our favorite things and kind of focus on that and not feel like, and we have to do everything.
That is, you know, and that is such a great feeling, you know, because I was stuck in that for my first like 5 years that I have to, if I'm not in line for something, I'm wasting time, you know, and that's how I totally felt. Now that I know, you know, like this year, I know that I'm going to be very lucky going out for marathon. I get to go back for Princess 6 weeks later. Mallory qualified for cheerleading. Going back in May. Going in June for the pot. You know, it's like this is going to be a good year. So the whole thing is, it's not even the physical trips. It's just that it makes every trip better, because in January, say if I happen to not be able to ride Soarin', which I really enjoy, I know that I'll have that opportunity, you know, more times down the road, where, you know, I think that's the struggle. When I talk to friends I used to teach with, or, you know, some guests that it's their first time and it may be only, you know, we always think it's going to be our only time. You never know. But, you know, there's a pressure that's on your shoulders that you want to make sure that you see the best of the best and as much as possible. But I think you've learned the lesson that it's very much quality over quantity when it comes to Walt Disney World.
Yeah. And we really are making, because we're on the meal plan, we're making the food and the dining experience as part of the plan. So it's like we're taking the time to sit down and eat, not just doing only quick services. And we found that the dining plan is really nice, and it seems like it's more than enough food for us. We can sometimes, off of a quick service meal, feed two people.
Yep.
So that we get to have breakfast as well as lunch, and then a sit down meal as well.
So how did you guys go about picking your restaurants? Do you kind of sit around as a family and decide, you know, this, you know, your one daughter likes this, your wife likes this, or do you just kind of, you know, you take it by the horns and say, I think everybody's going to enjoy these restaurants? Because that's typically what I do, because when we all try to decide something, it just turns into a big old mess. So I'm just like, I'm going to make them.
Yeah. we kind of have our favorites now, because we've been to, but we always want to try something new. We don't want to just do things that we've always done before. So, you know, Boma is one of our favorites for sure. And being able to, we like the character experiences as well. We didn't do that on this particular trip, but we had done that last January. So we were trying something new.
Nice. Did you guys spend any time over at the studios? Because of course, you know, it's still in transition, but you know, here later this year, it's going to come out and it's going to be the place to be. So how did you handle that part? It's beautiful during the holidays, though. I love the studios now.
Yeah, we did the big rides with the Rock and Roller Coaster and the Tower of Terror. Those are our favorites. And then we did spend time in Toy Story Land. So that was all new. You could see over the fence there, over into the Star Wars area, which certainly I would like to go to. But kind of limited to star tours. And yeah. Seeing a lot of stormtroopers walking around the park too.
Yeah, they're getting you ready. I mean, but it's going to be, I got so excited on Christmas morning when they showed the preview for Galaxy's Edge. And of course they had the CGI of, you know, people walking around the land, and they show, you know, in the shot of the Millennium Falcon, You saw like six people. I'm thinking, don't we wish that is never going to happen. But I mean, because I am a huge Star Wars fan, but I know, you know, because I grew up with it, you know, it came out in 77. It was my childhood. You know, I was born in 73. So the Star Wars toys were always there, the movies. I mean, it is absolutely in my wheelhouse, but I know too, you know, I'm not a dummy. I know that there's people that are way more into Star Wars than me, and that will sacrifice way more days off of work and, you know, whatever it takes to get in that line, where I don't know if I have the patience to do that, but I really want to experience it. It looks amazing, but it's going to be, I mean, this is going to be a full-time job, I think, to experience this, at least in the initial period where people want to get their first taste.
Yeah. It's amazing to see some of the things that they're building there, the new gondolas.
Yes.
That is going to be a major way of doing transportation that I think will be a lot easier than even, you know, the buses and the monorail currently.
Yeah, I'm a transportation, Walt Disney World transportation geek. I love the boats, the monorails, the gondolas are going to be awesome, man. I'll be riding those. And, you know, the monorail to me is an attraction. I think the same way with the gondolas. So I'm going to enjoy that. And one thing I want to ask you too, because you guys said you did some Disney bounding. How do you guys go about capturing the memories from a trip? Because when you go a lot, maybe that isn't as important, you know, because I see that, you know, we just take a lot of snapshots on our iPhones, and we used to, you know, looking back, we'd always make a Shutterfly book for every trip and, you know, do this and that, print out pictures, put them in frames. We don't do that as much anymore. How do you guys go about, you know, capturing the memories from each trip?
Well, we have done the photo pass for the last couple of years. And I think that's been, you know, so if you think about, if that's been our family photo, you know, rather than pay a photographer here, we paid the photographers at Disney, and we stop everywhere we can and get a picture. And so that's been one way. We are generally buying a lot of souvenirs, things to remember the trips by, clothing and little things. So there's always something that reminds us when we're home of the fun that we had.
That's a good point, because when I was a kid, I remember that my sister and I, my mom used to always take us to a place, and I don't know if they were a national chain or not, but this is probably showing my age, but it was a place called Olin Mills. And we'd get our pictures taken, and like they, you know, put them in a frame, put them on the wall. And you're exactly right. I never even made this connection, but for Paige and Mallory, they're Olin Mills is, you know, the Disney PhotoPass photographers. That's about it. You know, that and sports pictures.
the only problem that my wife might say for sure is that we're not always wearing the coordinated clothes, or we're wearing very warm sweatshirts, or the hair is messed up or something.
True.
Because it's windy, but we have a lot of fun. We have certainly a lot of memories of, they make even the photography a fun experience, because they can add those like magical things or poses where you've got something in your hand or just some of the favorite trip pictures from this last one was we met Mickey and Minnie at the Animal Kingdom, and just some of the kind of offbeat photos that they where the girls were giving a hug to Minnie or something. You know, it's like you just see the smile on their face is pretty amazing.
It is, you know, and where else can you do that? That's the whole thing. You know, it's like anybody can go to Walmart and get the family portrait, which I guess a lot of people do, you know, maybe we should have, I don't know. I guess, you know, I look back and like Mallory's already 11, you know, so it's like Paige is graduating college in 4 months. That ship has sailed. So we're just going to stick with the Disney pictures, cause that's really all we have at this point, but I'm not complaining, cause I will take that any day. All right. So as we wrap this show up, it's been a lot of fun. I love this. I love talking about trips on Mondays. It makes my day. Looking back on this trip, do you have like one, you know, memory that sticks out or a story to leave us with, or, you know, just something that you've learned about the Disney destinations that's special to you? Just like one big memory to wrap the show on.
Well, you know, I'm a kind of a technology guy, so I'll just give you maybe a couple of tips about technology that could be helpful. I always put I've got an iPhone. I always put it on low power mode because, that phone has to last the entire day and carry an extra battery with me. But this time I didn't even have to use the extra battery.
That's smart.
The low power mode helped.
That's so smart because I'm like the $6 million man. I have like two or three external batteries. And if you're a technology guy, I have that biggest anchor external battery that's like, it might be 9 to 10 inches long. I mean, it's a 22,000 milliamp hour thing. I mean, I think I could like fly the Southwest airplane home from St. Louis just on that battery alone. But I mean, like I'm paranoid about losing juice. Like I am not going to run out of juice. That's a great tip. But low power, but I've never done that. So does your phone function well enough just on low power mode to get through the day?
Yeah, it totally works. I didn't really notice it. It probably just turns off some things that really don't need to be running. It does turn off the screen a little bit faster. You know, like if you're not touching the screen or whatever, it's going to dim it so that it doesn't waste the battery. But pretty much that's a big help. I do take photos of things like our passports and things so that if we were to lose, or credit cards, if we were to lose those, I've got a picture of them in my phone so that we recover from that kind of thing. And we're always using the apps. I'm switching between the Disney World app and also the Lines app on the phone to see what the next lines are or where we might want to go next. Just some tips.
Those are great tips. And let me throw in one other one that I've learned from somebody I was going around the parks with. It was a great idea. They said, what they did was in the morning, they would pull up My Disney Experience because that app, you know, it can be flaky and, you know, with internet connection issues, you have issues finding stuff. But what they did was they would take a screenshot of their initial fast passes, like their three for the day. And what they would do is make that their home screen or their lock screen so that way they didn't really have to go anywhere. They just look at their phone and they could see their first three fast passes or whatever, you know, is the vital information for that day. Make it your lock screen and just keep swapping it out while you're on vacation. When the trip's over, go back to your picture of your dog or whatever it is. You know, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
So anything else?
One of the nice things coming home is that everything seems so much cheaper.
Yeah, no doubt. That first meal out after your home.
Store and it's like, I'm rich.
Exactly. Yeah, I go to Texas Roadhouse. I'm like, is this just for me or is this for the whole family? Because it's, you know, $30. What? That's crazy. That's so true.
That's
We say that exact same thing. It's like sticker shock. It's like, you know, I can get a 12-pack of Coke Zero for $4. Wait, that was a can of soda a week ago. That's crazy. That's fun. Well, Tim, hey, I appreciate the time and, you know, great way to kick off the year. And I'm sure we'll be talking again because I know you're going to be going back to the when's your next trip? What's your next adventure?
We're going in March. We're going to Disneyland. It's the first time we've ever gone to Disneyland in California. And then we're going to take a cruise out of San Diego to Mexico, go down the west coast there.
Sweet.
And should be fun.
All right. We'll have to talk about that one. So happy new year. I hope that to you. I hope that 2019 is awesome for you. And thanks again for coming on the show with us here to share your trip.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by our two great sponsors. Tim mentioned them, touringplans.com. They're steering you clear of the crowds, telling you the best park to go to every day. You know, the lowest crowds projections, and they're spot on. They've been doing this for over a decade. They know what they're doing. It's just an insurance policy to make that next vacation better. Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Universal Parks. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. And get a good read in here in 2019. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books by author Jeff Barnes. You got The Wisdom of Walt focused on Walt Disney bringing Disneyland into existence. Tim's going to go out and see it. Walt Disney put that together with an awesome team around him. And then Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focusing more on Epcot and Walt Disney World and how Walt wanted to take Disneyland, but he never stopped dreaming. He wanted to make it bigger and better and, you know, really kind of change society through this whole city idea. So two great books. Gives you your Disney fix. It also helps you become a better leader with all these tips that Walt left us and how to get the most out of those around you. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Please give us a follow on the social media. I will be leaving for Walt Disney World Tuesday, tomorrow evening, and I'm going on a solo trip, so that means I'll be taking lots of video, lots of pictures, chatting live on Facebook and Instagram, so it's going to be a good follow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike, and of course, we're also at BeOurGuestPod, and we've got a great Facebook page where I'll be updating as well, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and please do support the show through our Amazon affiliate link. Always, we appreciate that so much. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right, time to get out of here. And again, wish a very safe travels to everybody headed down for Marathon Weekend. We're going to have a great time. Look out for the lizards, high fives, hugs, and lots of bling coming your way. We're going to have so much fun. So safe travels down there. So for Tim, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work and almost to Walt Disney World. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.